Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. I missed a week and it kills me. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. Hey, do we have the fire going? Yeah, we do. So this is an honest-to-goodness Fireside Chat. Just talk about life, take your questions, and enjoy life. Where's our music? This is frenzied. I'll light up while you listen. Whoa. Don't blame me. I didn't pick it. All right. Oh, this is a great theme. That's what we should have had. This is from a guy named Prokofiev. Let me just say, my drug of choice since high school has been classical music. I admit it. All right, guys, thanks very much for the musical opening. Great to be with you. Did I say who I am so people have an idea? Did I even mention my name? No? Dennis Prager. Hi. As I like to say on the radio, P is in pneumonia. R-A-G-E-R. By the way, that is fun to do when I'm booking a ticket, and the woman, usually a woman it is, you know, so would you spell your name, sir? Prager. P is in pneumonia. R-A-G-E-R. And what I do is I wait to see, will there even be a chuckle? And I like it when there's a chuckle. It means they're alive and they're responsive. But half the time there's no chuckle. It's okay. No problem. Maybe they're afraid. You know what? They may be afraid if they chuckle, will I be offended that they're laughing at my last name? Where are you going? This is Peanut, everybody. Peanut has, his toy fell. Oh, poor thing. I let him out of the room. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat. I want to talk to you about something, then I take your questions. So here's a story. I talked about this on my radio show today. In case you didn't know, I have a national radio show. I've been doing radio for 35 years. Or 34, I think. 34 years, one of the two. And you could look it up or get the app to hear the show, but I talk about a lot of good stuff, 3 hours a day. In any event, I talked about something very, very, I was going to say dispiriting, but it's more than dispiriting. It's depressing in both its totalitarianism and its stupidity. Cultural appropriation. In Oregon, in Portland, they are driving white people out of business if they have a restaurant that cooks or bakes or in any way prepares foods of other ethnicities. Did you know this? No, I'm asking you, my listener, not you. I know you know. No, the folks, you looking at me now, did you know this? It's called cultural appropriation. I cannot think of something stupider. I would have thought it was a satire, but this is the latest absurdity that the left has come up with. So you must understand, if you are white and you open up a burrito shop, They will try to drive you out of business in Portland. Now I don't get it. It's not just that I don't agree. I don't get it. What does it mean? If a non-Italian opens up a pizza place, is that cultural appropriation? If a non-Jew bakes bagels, do you bake bagels? Yeah. What else do you do? Yeah. It's
oil.
Boil. Oops. Who says boil bagels? Give them a smack. Okay. Think about it. Okay, I'm Jewish. So if you open up a bagel shop, have you appropriated my culture? Let's say you have. What's wrong with it? What does appropriate mean? Took for your own? That is one of the greatnesses of America. I remember in a deli in L.A. years, about 25 years ago. I thought this was a beautiful scene. a black waitress was explaining to a Japanese customer what kreplach were. Kreplach, as you could tell from the sound, is like some Jewish dish, which gives you instant heartburn. It's like that. You have to bring Tums if you eat kreplach. But I saw this and I thought, isn't that beautiful? This is America. And it is America, and that's why the left hates it, because whatever is beautiful about America, the left seems to hate. What could possibly be wrong about non-Mexicans making burritos, non-Jews making bagels, non-Italians making pizza? What could be wrong with it? By the way, do you understand? Aside from absurd, it's racist. So what, your ethnicity comes with the food? What does that even mean? That you tie in the definition of your ethnicity, and therefore I'm robbing your ethnicity by making your food? Isn't it a compliment? It's a compliment. It's not an insult. It's a compliment. I so like what you do, I want to emulate it. By the way, why if I'm eating it, is it not cultural appropriation? You can't make a burrito if you're white, but you can eat a burrito if you're white? Maybe that's wrong. By the way, what if you're half Mexican and half American? As millions of people are in the United States, one parent Mexican and one parent is American. Can you have a burrito shop then? Ooh, we're getting into a Jesuitical inquiry, Talmudic discourse. Think about it. Does the burrito have to be half burrito and half hot dog? And by the way, what if a Mexican in Mexico or in America, Mexican-American or just Mexican-Mexican, does sell hot dogs? Is that cultural appropriation? When I was in Japan, I went to a Beethoven concert. These Japanese musicians were all playing an Austrian German composer. Is that cultural appropriation? How dare they? The reason I raise this is that I need you to understand how sick we're getting, because the left is getting so crazed. It's so race preoccupied. Cultural appropriation. There were two Yale professors who basically got kicked out of Yale because I think somebody wore a sombrero or something to a Halloween party, and they said, it's no big deal. And that was the end of their tenure at Yale. And they were big liberals, but leftism hates liberalism. I think I've talked about this at a fireside chat, difference between liberal and left. It's huge. But the left has taken over, and it's a very dangerous thing for any society. There's another reason. You know, why would anybody think about it? Now, here, I want to go one step deeper. Why would anybody devote time to trying to drive white-owned businesses out of business for serving burritos? Think about it, okay? Why would somebody, and here's the answer, they're bored. I learned in college, reading a book on philosophy, how important boredom is in explaining a lot of human events. They're bored. They need a cause. So here's a Pragerism for you. Causes are to the left what oxygen is to biological living beings. There is always a hysteria, and there is always a cause. And it's almost like a cause a month. This is the latest cause, because the people who fight this, who fight cultural appropriation, I believe that they're empty inside, and they have to fill that emptiness with a cause. So it doesn't matter what the cause is, so long as it's a cause. Again, cultural appropriation is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's what America's based on. Germans bring their foods here, and then everybody eats them. The Irish bring their foods, then everybody eats them. The Jews bring their foods, then everybody eats them. The Latinos bring their foods, then everybody eats them. That's the beauty of it. That's beautiful, not ugly. It's the inverted moral world of the left. Next time you hear, especially if you're a young person, you hear cultural appropriation, say, what's wrong with that? What could possibly be wrong with that? Isn't that the highest compliment? I so love your cuisine, or I so love your art, or I so love your clothing that I want to emulate it. All right, my thoughts for today. It's truly morally upside down. All right, let's see what you got to ask. Ronald. Hi, Ronald. Dennis, why do you always demean atheism? After all, agnosticism and atheism don't have a book telling us to go out and kill infidels. Okay, I do demean atheism, I admit it. I don't demean agnosticism, so don't lump the two together. I don't demean atheists, so you were precise and I salute you. I do not demean the people. There are some very fine people who are atheists, just as there are some very ugly people who are religious. I fully understand that, and I say it all the time. But I do demean atheism. As I asked Charles Krauthammer, who is an agnostic and a major intellect, and I asked him in one of my dialogues with him, what do you think of atheism? And he really demeaned it. It was fascinating. The guy is a psychiatrist, you know. He went to Harvard Medical School. He has a tremendous background in the sciences. And he is a major, truly a major intellect. I don't say that often. And he got paralyzed in a diving accident at Harvard when he was about 21 years old. And he's been in a wheelchair ever since. And I didn't know what he would say. And he said, it's the least rational approach to the issue of God, or one of the least rational doctrines he's ever encountered. To believe, to assert there is no God. You could doubt, and so you'd be in the middle. I understand all that. But to assert there is nothing out there, everything came about on its own. I don't find it an intellectually respectable position. I think it's animated by emotion, not intellect. But I don't demean atheists. Some nice people can have what I consider to be foolish positions. It happens all the time. So the other part, wait, I gotta get to the other part. Can you give me that back? Because there was a second part to that question. Here it is, yeah. After all, agnosticism and atheism don't have a book telling us to go out and kill infidels. Well, I'm a God-believing religious person, and I don't have a book telling me to kill infidels either. My Bible is the Old Testament. There's nothing in there that says kill infidels. There's nothing in the New Testament telling Christians to kill infidels. So don't saddle us with what others may believe their book tells them. Okay? So you're not being intellectually fair when you do that. And remember, atheist track record is not great. Okay? The communists were atheists. And they killed more people than all the Christians who ever lived. All righty. What's the next one? Bradley. Dennis, PragerU claims that the best minimum wage is $0.00, but please explain, why would stop corporations like McDonald's and Walmart from cutting employees' wages to a very low level? People wouldn't work. That's what would happen. At a certain point, unemployment insurance would give you a better wage than 10 cents an hour. That's what's the market economy and people having an option to receive assistance otherwise, what's to stop them now? What is to stop, you say, the minimum wage? Forgetting the minimum wage, why does any company not give terrible wages? They pay what it is worth, what your labor is worth. Nobody's going to work for 10 cents an hour. So they can't hire anybody at 10 cents an hour. And the person who would come for $1 an hour is probably not the most reliable worker. Generally in life, you get what you pay for. Just remember, in the 1970s, the New York Times editorial was the right minimum wage, $0, 0 cents. That's when the New York Times editorial page was liberal, not leftist. Now it's leftist. Now it believes in a minimum wage. Lauren. Hi, Lauren. Dennis, I've heard you say that love should never be unconditional in a marriage. Well, I've said it should never be unconditional anywhere. Not just a marriage, but anyway, as a psychologist and marriage therapist, I disagree with you, but would like to further understand your position. Please elaborate. Okay. I don't think we disagree. So I'm sure that you have had women, or men for that matter, who have been abused by their spouse. Have you counseled them to continue to love their spouse? Of course not. I hope you haven't, and I doubt you did. Why not, then? If you believe in unconditional love in a marriage, why wouldn't you tell a spouse who is being beaten or emotionally abused, verbally abused, it's marriage. You got to give your spouse unconditional love. You would never say that. You would probably say at a certain point, get out of that marriage and stop loving that person. It's not healthy for you, and it's not morally right. The day you get married, wait, I don't even understand it. The day before we get married, or in any other relationship, is there unconditional love? Unconditional love means no matter how you behave, I love you. I don't understand it. It's not moral. It's not healthy. It's not psychologically sound. There's nothing good about the idea. I have a wonderful marriage, and I had a troubled marriage, so I'm not holier than anybody here. But I will tell you, I believe that I have to renew getting my wife's love every day. I believe that I need to earn my wife's love every day. It makes me a better husband because I don't take her for granted. If somebody gives you unconditional love, you take them for granted because it means there's no condition under which they won't love me anymore. I don't believe in that. It's a terrible idea. Just a terrible idea. Dennis, why do you push your religious views on everybody? That's hilarious. This I really want to deal with. Travis. Hi, Travis. Great to hear from you. How do you excuse all the murder throughout history that has been done in the name of Christianity? Okay, it's a particularly odd question since I'm not Christian. I'll deal with it, but you probably thought I was Christian. Push your religious views? First of all, I do push religious views on everybody. I agree with that, but I don't push any one religion on everybody. All I want people to... I want people to believe that there is a God who demands they behave kindly and justly to other people, and who will judge them after they die, just like Benjamin Franklin. I have the exact same views about God as Benjamin Franklin. So I hope I answered that part. In fact, people are surprised at how often I get a call on my radio show all through my career. Dennis, I just want to tell you, thanks to you, I went back to my Catholic church. Thanks to you, I went back to my Methodist church. And I'm a Jew. And then they say, they pay people, really, what prompted you? I said, well, believe it or not, a Jewish guy named Dennis Prager, he's the one who convinced me. And I get great joy out of that. I'm not trying to make everybody Jewish. I want Jews to be good Jews. I want Christians to be good Christians. That's what I want. And I want those who are not Jewish and not Christian to be good ethical monotheists, like Benjamin Franklin, but to believe that there is a God who judges us. At minimum, I want people to believe that God wants us to live by the Ten Commandments and will judge us accordingly. How do I excuse all the murder throughout history that's been done in the name of Christianity? If you have ever found, in the million words I have written, in the millions of words I have said and that are recorded, once that I have excused murder by anybody, Christian or otherwise, I will buy you a car, not a model car, a real drivable car, a new one, not even a used one, okay? How would I excuse it? It's disgusting. In fact, there is no evil like evil in the name of God. That is the worst evil possible. Watch my series on the Ten Commandments on PragerUniversity.com, where I teach the commandment, do not take God's name in vain. It's do not carry God's name in vain. I know the biblical Hebrew well. And it's about doing evil in God's name, the only sin God says he won't forgive. So when a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew murders in the name of God, that's the worst thing you can do. One moment. I want to take a puff. Is it out? Oh, that is so sad. Now, I want to just say it is sad, but I keep perspective here. In the gradations of sadness of life, it's low. Okay, so if, let's say, premature death is a 10, this is a 0.01. Okay, I keep my balance here. Next. Elham, is that the guy's name? Or a woman? E-L-H-A-M, how you doing, Elham? Dennis, I heard you say on your show that having a midlife crisis can actually be a good sign. Can you explain that? Yeah, I don't remember saying that, but I'll explain it anyway. If I said it, this is what I meant. How's that? All right. Midlife crisis is, gee, what have I done with my life? I think it's a good question for people to ask. It's good. I think you should ask it not just in midlife. I think you should ask it at 22. Okay? I think you should ask it at 70. You should ask it at any age. What am I doing with my life? What have I done with my life? So in that sense, if I said it, that's what I meant. Dennis, what are some hobbies of yours? Do you have some advice for people trying to get into hobbies? That was from Eric. Eric, I love you. Do I have hobbies? That's almost like saying, do I have shoes? I have more hobbies than shoes, I might add. I'm not a shoe man. But what are my hobbies? Let's see. No order of importance, photography. I got into photography at 12 with a little Kodak box camera. And it was a blessing to my entire extended family that I got into it, because it ended up that I was the only one taking pictures of the family. Most of the pictures that my family, my parents, my brother have had, I took. Of my grandparents, of cousins, my parents, because I always took pictures. It was a blessing. But I loved it. I don't know why. I can't answer. I just fell in love with it. Because I'll tell you why. See, I have no talent in drawing. None. If you said, Dennis, draw a house, I would draw the exact same thing I drew for a house in kindergarten. A big box with little windows, all boxes themselves. And a door, which would be a rectangle box with a doorknob. And that would be it. Oh, and I do a chimney, too. I'd always have a chimney. I knew how to do a chimney. That was it. I'm no better today than in kindergarten. But I love art, and photography was my way of doing some art, as well as recording what I saw. So that's one. I now, by the way, for those of you into photography, and only those of you into photography will even know what I'm talking about, I just got a medium format camera. And that was the biggest expense I ever did on a camera. But the pictures are beyond description. Music has always been my hobby. And by the way, for those of you interested, I will be conducting at the Walt Disney Music Hall, that very wonderful central music place on the West Coast, and on August 16th. I will be conducting. You should get tickets, because even if you have no interest in classical music, I'll make the evening interesting. But that's how much I am into music, and was since high school, that I taught myself to conduct, and I do know how. I mean, I'm not a professional, but I know how. Let's see. So music, photography. People say reading. Reading's not a hobby. I don't look at reading as a hobby. Reading is like air. Can't imagine not reading. I mean, if you want to include it, that's fine. Travel, yeah, that's a hobby. Been to 130 countries and 50 states. I am a serious traveler. I love travel. What else? Oh, fountain pens. Yeah, I love fountain pens. I haven't written with a ballpoint pen since I was about 11 years old. My older brother wrote with a fountain pen, and I fell in love with it. Never gone back. Anything else?
Speakers.
Oh, audio. Oh, how did I forget that? Oh, of course, audio equipment. A great stereo system. Since I love music, I want to reproduce it as great as possible. That's the only splurge of money in my life, has been on an audio system. I don't really care what car I drive. I don't need the fanciest car. I like safe cars that I can fit in. I'm 6'4". But other than that, I don't really care. But this has mattered to me, spending money. Those of you who grew up with MP3 files, you don't know what great music sounds like. Your favorite music. I don't mean forget great music. Your favorite music on a great system would blow your mind. Go to an audio show when it comes to your city, and then you'll see what I mean. Did I do it on the hobbies? I think so. I'll tell you, you know what somebody should ask? What I don't like. I don't like a day at the beach. My view is that beaches are for sand crabs. Humans, that's why God made pools. So we would swim in pools.
And the second part of the question.
Oh, second part?
Do you have some advice?
Oh, do I have some? Oh, yeah, advice. Yes, I do. It's an interesting question. Try everything. This is the best way to live life. Try everything. When I was in high school, I did no schoolwork. One of the greatest decisions of my life. I did no schoolwork. Instead, I just opened myself up to everything in life. That's where I taught myself photography and all these things. Or I taught myself how to read symphonic scores so I could conduct. I was interested in what we were learning in school, but not in studying for exams or doing homework. So I did everything else. I read about everything else. Been a blessing in my life. But I even subscribed. I'm proud of this. I grew up in New York City. I subscribed to the New York City Ballet for a year, either in high school or college. I don't remember. I had zero interest in ballet. I mean, zero. And I'm sorry to say, I still have zero. But I did give it a try. I, in fact, subscribed to the ballet. That's what you got to do. Try all these things. Try photography. Try coin collecting. Try whatever is out there. That's the way to get into it. That's cute. Tarleton asks, hi, Tarleton, who is Dennis Prager? The answer is exactly who you see right now. There is no other Dennis Prager. That's who it is. If you hear me on the radio, read my stuff, watch me at these chats, see my videos, that's me. You could ask anyone who's associated with me. Is there any difference at all between my public persona and my private? The only difference is I'm slightly goofier off camera. Only slightly, but slightly. But that's it. I don't even know how to not be me. If you said fake, I couldn't fake it. So that's who I am. I care deeply about good and evil. I hate evil and I love good. That's my biggest single passion in life. That's since I was a child. I really want to beat up bad guys. I do. I did, by the way. Got kicked out of school in high school a fair amount because I was always the biggest kid. So I would beat up bullies. And I still beat up bullies. I just do it verbally and in writing. I hate bullies. But that's it. That's who I am. What is your favorite sport and why? My favorite sport to play was racquetball. Loved it. Loved playing it. I did it for many decades. I don't anymore because I'd probably be hospitalized given the inevitable toll of sciatic over the course of years. Although other than that, I'm in perfect condition. I work out 3 times a week, but I couldn't. I could probably play racquetball, but I don't want to risk it. But anyway, that was my favorite sport to play. I loved playing tennis too, but I preferred racquetball. I liked racquet sports, obviously. I hated playing basketball. Don't start me on that. But my favorite to watch was and remains hockey. I'm a big hockey fan. I don't even care if my team wins or not, but if my team isn't even in the playoffs, I watch every game that I can. I am just mesmerized. I admit it, this is a little odd sounding, but I don't understand. I understand people who can't stand sports. Totally understandable, fine. But I don't understand people who like sports and don't like hockey. It's permanently interesting, every minute of it. It's moving. But in any case, that's my favorite to watch. Final question.
No, that was it.
That was it. What is your favorite sport and why? Oh, yeah, so I told you why. Because it's just relentlessly interesting. By the way, here's an interesting thing for you. This combines with the previous one, who was Dennis Prager. So I'll tell you something about me that I don't think I've ever told publicly. I wouldn't hide it. It just never came up. But now it's coming up. When I was in high school, I was raised and I grew up in New York City. I went every Sunday night that there was a game. I went to a New York Rangers hockey game. Went to the old Madison Square Garden. The seats were $1.50. I could just barely afford them. Whenever there was a fight, and I don't like hockey fights, but whenever there was a fight, everybody would stand up and cheer, you know, for the fight. They loved the fight. They were cheering, ostensibly, I assume, for the Ranger to beat up the other guy. I remember being the only person in Madison Square Garden that I could see who didn't stand up. I didn't want to be among those cheering the fight. I went to see hockey, not boxing. So that's a memory that I have at the time. I just sat there, waited till everybody sat down, and the game resumed. Well, anyway, it's great to be with you. Don't forget to visit PragerU.com. Also, making a movie on what's happening at our universities. And you could see what it's about at NoSafeSpaces.com. Well, I'm making it with Adam Carolla, who's a very special and very funny human being. And I think that does about does it, doesn't it? See you next week. Thanks for being with me.